glad to join you for our Shift Today radio experience. This is an inspirational and engaging online experience aired weekdays, and I am so privileged to be your ministry morning host with everyday people and the Holy Spirit who's on this broadcast. We're even welcoming his presence. We're welcoming his wisdom. We're welcoming the word of God this morning that the Holy Spirit is revealing to each of us. This morning, we're going to continue to do what we do best, which is to proclaim the word of God so that you and I can be transformed by not just the renewing of our mind. Before we decide to renew our minds, we must make a decision. And then our personal lives and our world through the airways will be changed because the Holy Spirit does the conversion. He brings the revelation knowledge so that we can see and we can enter into the very thing that he is showing us, which is always the way of escape that's leading to life. Every segment that you listen to on our Shift Today radio experience is filled with insightful wisdom, inspiring messages, and power-packing decrees from the word of God. Sometimes it's one decree, sometimes it's 10 decrees, but however many decrees that we make, take hold of them because they are being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Also, once you get on the broadcast, know that you're being equipped. Know that you're being empowered. Know that you are making a difference in your realm of influence. Because I believe the first part of making a difference is getting the first and foremost the right information. And once you get the right information, things begin to change because now you can open up your heart. You can open up your ears. You open up your beliefs. You open up your soul to what is the truth. What is the reality of the word of God? So I'm so glad that you've joined me this morning. We're going to have a great segment today. I'm going to be sharing with you quite a few different things, but I know how the Holy Spirit does. He knows how to strategically tie everything together to bring his thoughts and his words across so that we have a simple way of understanding so that we can apply the word of God. And so I pray today in the name of Jesus that the entrance of the word of God will bring each one of us light. I declare light be in the name of Jesus, and that the eyes of our understanding would be opened by the Holy Spirit so that we will know what to do. We will have a simple way of understanding in our souls, and we will know the hope to which God has called us. God has called each one of us. And I pray today that we awaken to that hope to which our calling is. And then we will no longer begin to postpone and put off our call. Well, I wasn't called to do this or I wasn't called to do that. Whatever you were called to do, it is time for you to put your hands to the plow to it. Start thinking about it. Stop being so focused on the things that you need to do and start focusing more on your call. Your call doesn't begin when you get into a building or when you get on a stage or when you get wherever you're going that the Holy Spirit is leading you. Your call begins when you start operating in it. Do you realize that I was a teacher before I realized that I was a teacher? Literally. When I look back over my life, I realized that God was already using me in the call that he had already, before he had literally called me through a vision and the things that he began to confirm through others, I was already operating out of those giftings. And it's the same thing with you. And the more that you begin to operate out of those giftings, the more that you begin to receive what God has given you, then there's an expansion that comes. You can be more fruitful when that comes. That means he'll start adding more things to that. Out of that one call came other giftings that I didn't even recognize that I had. But as you start to move forward in those things will be released. So I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you begin to show us and open up our eyes so that we can see what is the hope of our calling. Show us the truth. Show us of what we've already been doing. And then, Holy Spirit, show us how to execute it and use it with wisdom, because wisdom basically is equated to knowledge and understanding put together. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. And so you said, Holy Spirit, that wisdom would be the principal thing. And then all of our get understanding, because what's the sense in having a lot of knowledge and information and we don't know how to execute it? Show us how to execute the wisdom with understanding the promises and the things that you are revealing to us in this hour, in this season. Show us how to execute these things so that we can be fruitful and multiply and increase and subdue the land and walk in dominion in the world in the name of Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Go beyond my thoughts. Go beyond my words. Meet everyone today, including myself, at our point of need. Give us the desires of our hearts that are in alignment with your word in the name of Jesus. And, Jesus, thank you so much for faithfully praying for each one of us, mainly that our faith would fail not, because you've already healed us through your cross. You've already delivered us through your cross. You've already healed us and forgiven us through your cross. You've already removed from us shame and guilt and condemnation. You've already dealt with sin head on and has given us the remedy and the justification for sin. It's already been made. God has already been pleased with your sacrifice through your body. You took it to hell. You redeemed us from that place. You rose up with the keys and the gates of hell. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father with your blood in the Holy of Holies, the highest blood that has ever existed in the world to redeem humanity from sin. And so, Jesus, help us to fulfill and walk out the hope that you have called each one of us to as we are partnering with the Holy Spirit that you have left us in the name of Jesus, in good care. You didn't leave us bereft. You didn't leave us alone. You left us with community. You left us with other believers, and you left us with the Spirit of the living God. And so, Holy Spirit, let us lay aside excuses. Let us lay aside fear, for you've not given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And may this be the month, more than any month, as we are coming to a close on the Gregorian calendar, not the Hebrew calendar, because we're in a brand new year still in the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar. But help us, Holy Spirit, manifest. Help us bring forth the harvest. It's already harvest. We've already sowed. May we come forth, and may the things that we have sowed come forth in the name of Jesus. We are no longer ruled under the spirit of mammon. We are ruled by you, Holy Spirit. We are ruled by the word of God. And so if you agree with this prayer, go ahead and say with me, amen and amen. I want to share with you, I told you I'm going to put a few things together. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to do it, but what I do know that when I open up my mouth, he speaks and he'll put it all together. So today, if you haven't read already today, I wrote today about in our Devo, send the word of God. And according to Isaiah 55:11, it says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So I truly believe that God's word will come in full force and operation if we would believe his word first and foremost, and then send his words out of our mouths. Why? So that they can produce and that they can prosper where he is sending it. But God is looking for people, spirits, every single day that are in agreement with his word, as you and I, believers especially, and everyday people, if you come on in alignment into the kingdom of God, to speak his word of what you see, of what you hear, and what you are perceiving by the Spirit. I believe that there's so much failure in our lives, communities, and in our world because we're speaking what we see, hear, and perceive, and what we think what it could possibly be right in the natural realm. And see, that's wrong. We've gotten it all wrong if we're continually to do that. We must clearly allow God's words to be the final authority, the final instruction. And we must yield to them, give way to them in our souls. That's why we must constantly recognize what are we thinking about, because the very thing you're thinking about is what you're going to be. Even if you got some difficulties happening in your body, if you're constantly thinking on the difficulties in your body or the pain in your body, even though you're not denying the reality that pain is there, or the same thing with money, or the same thing in relationships, you're not denying the reality, but if you're constantly thinking about what is,
is, meaning existing in the world and the things that you're experiencing, you will not be able to focus on what the truth is, what God is saying concerning the matter. Amen? So, in our world, God is known, how he created from the very beginning, to call those things that be not as though they were. That's what God did when the earth was dark, when the earth was empty, it was void. God began to call forth what he wanted and also what he needed. And that's what we're called to do as believers. We're called to call forth what has been met, the need that has been met. That's why he says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not have any want for need. We have no needs if the Lord is our shepherd, because we're following the shepherd. And the shepherd has met all of our needs on that cross. Hear what I'm telling you today. And so therefore we pray prayers that the need has been met. Now we can ask God for the things that we want. Hear what I'm telling you today. But the needs have been met. So when we pray Philippians 4:19, that my God has provided all of my needs, which is true. God has provided, not God, my God shall supply. That looks like he has never supplied it, but God has supplied it through Jesus over 4,000 years ago. Hear what I'm telling you today. So we must align our prayers to be right. God has provided your healing. God has provided the deliverance and whatever you need in your relationship. He's provided for all your finances. He's provided for everything that you need. Now, it's our job to get the promise of God and to begin to believe what it says and decree and declare that. Amen. So today is a new day to use your words in which they were created. We are no longer influenced under the spirit of mammon. This is where I say we're going to tie this in together. Mammon is basically a spirit that deals with riches and wealth and the God of riches. And a lot of times what the spirit of mammon looks like, it directly opposes, because mammon is a spirit. When Jesus says in Matthew, let me get there really quickly from my notes. Okay, I'm going to go from John 14:30, and I'm also going to Matthew 6:24. And I'm going to read it this morning from the, I don't have it here, my TPT. Okay, I'm going to read it too. From the Passion Translation, Matthew 6:24, he says, how can you worship two gods at the same time? Just like matter, two things cannot be at the same space at the same time. So he said, the Matthew 6:24, how can you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other, to worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money. CEV version from Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot be the slave of two masters. You will like one more than the other, or be loyal to one than the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Another word for that is mammon. And even in the Amplified Bible says, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and then it says money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. So anything that is placed as value in the world is considered mammon, like money. Money is a value of the world. That means people will kill for it, lust for it, do whatever they can do to get money or get these possessions or have some kind of fame or have some kind of status or have some kind of whatever it is. That's why you can't get into competition, because, see, that's, you're being operated by a spirit of mammon. God says that you're going to either love that spirit and be led by all of its instructions, or led by all of its suggestions, or led by all of its temptations. No, don't spend that. Don't sow that. Hold on to that. Keep that for yourself. Don't give that to the poor. Hold on to those possessions. Don't give it away. Hold on to that fame. Hold on to that status. And I'm going to tell you, if you hold on to the spirit of mammon will lead you to a place you don't want to be. So you are no longer a slave under the spirit of mammon, especially a spirit if you are a believer. So that's why you must always check yourself, check your heart, address your heart, because the spirit of mammon, according to what the word of God says, is specifically referring to not being a good stewardship. That means you are trusting in money, you're trusting in your status, you're trusting in your job, you're trusting in any other thing that is going against God as your source. Mammon says, this is the voice of Mammon. Let me show you in case you don't recognize the voice or this spirit of Mammon. It says, buy this and keep this. But God says, sow this and reap this. The spirit of Mammon says, cheat and steal. But God says, give and receive. Mammon, or the spirit of Mammon, is always looking for servants every single day. It wants to rule your heart. It wants to rule your soul. It wants to renounce God, and it wants to have a place of kingship in your heart, a kingship in your mind. Mammon will deceive you, and it will leave you in a pit. You don't see it coming, but if you yield to that spirit of selfishness, if you yield to a spirit that you cannot give, you don't sow, you don't reap, you like to cheat, you steal or you lie, you don't give and you don't receive, you're not renewing your mind, that's the spirit of selfishness. That's the spirit of Mammon. God is a spirit of love. God is a spirit of generosity. Mammon also tries to insulate your, it gets you to insulate ourselves from life's problems, and it'll cause you to dwell on the problems, not dwell on the promises. That's another subtle way that Mammon gets you in. That's why I was telling you earlier, when you know that you have a promise of God, you cannot afford to dwell on the problems that you are facing or the problems in the world. This is, I'm uncovering the spirit of Mammon, because this is in these last days where the word of God says, and I didn't look up this scripture, but he says, in these last days, many people's hearts will grow faint. Seeing it today, many people are having literally heart attacks, physically heart attacks. And you know where it's ultimately coming from? It's coming from the root, the spirit of Mammon. Because Mammon also, with that, it has the manifestations of fear, because you fear of letting it go. And if you cannot, and the Lord is really showing me this too. Another way you're being controlled by the spirit of Mammon, you can even have money but still have a poverty mindset. You can literally have money loaded in the bank, loaded even in your inheritance, but still have a spirit of poverty because you're afraid to give it. Or you're afraid to have others have what you have because you don't even want to see them excel. That's when you know you're also being led. I'm uncovering the spirit of Mammon so that you can recognize that Mammon hides behind fear. It hides behind religion. And it also takes advantage of the lack of knowledge or ignorance of God's word. It even encourages you to sing songs that contradict God's promises. But I'm going to tell you something. God also says in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Who was controlled by the spirit of Mammon out of all the disciples of Jesus? It was Judas of Iscariot. He met the chief priest. He was willing to throw those 30 shekels and to go against the plans of God. And so what eventually happened to Judas, what could happen to anybody that is led by the spirit of Mammon, you hang yourself. You might not literally commit a physical suicide, but you're committing all kinds of other deaths and murders and thoughts that are going through your mind, even thoughts of suicide. Those are still led by the spirit of Mammon. I'm waking you up, church, to say, in everyday people, you cannot trust money. You cannot trust fame. You cannot trust status. Even when people compliment you, you got to say thank you and keep it going. You can't focus on that like you have done some great thing. Even God said there is nothing good in this earth, and it's not. Even us, the good that God says that we are, it is because God has made us good. Don't think that you're good and holy and righteous on your own. Remember, everything in the world for us is a resource. Money is a resource. Even when God says, I'm putting it all together, I can see it now. Even when God said in Genesis 12 that he will make your name great, that's great on what the world looks like as fame and status. But the reason that God is making our names great is so that he knows that he can use our names. Because as God is using my name, Nina Roach, anybody that's going to hear about Nina Roach, they're going to think about godliness, holiness, God, truth, honesty, integrity, and bringing beautiness and holiness back to the church. Not that he's making my name great so that I could fall and then take everybody else with me to fall. See, that's what happened to Satan. He forgot that he was only a resource for God. He wasn't the source. And then he tried to be the source, and then he failed because now he was even led by and bewitched by his own thoughts, by what he thought he could be outside of God. We cannot trust side of God. So when God says, I'm making you right, I'm making you holy, and he says that. He says you are holy in Romans 12. Read it for yourself. Why? Because you were made holy. Because whatever God is, you are. Whatever God is, we are. So God has made you righteous. God has made you holy. He's making your name great so that he's entrusting you to manage your name, which is your fame, that he's made your name great with, so that you can lead others back to him, that you can show others, my name has been made great, so I'm leading you back to God who made my name famous. I'm leading you back to God who's given me this status. I'm leading you back to God who has blessed me and made me exceedingly rich. That's all that Abraham did. So we got to be entrusted even with our name. Just because you see your name on a door or on your desk, or in the one of the directors, know that your name has been made great so that God can get the credit for it. Hear what I'm telling you today. Don't fall under your name being made great or the status that he's given you for your own glory. Your own glory will lead you to your own demise, and that's what happened to Judas. So we cannot be led by a spirit of mammon. When God says the love of money is the root of all evil, money is not the evil. Money is only a medium of exchange. But the love of it, if you can't give your tithe, you're struggling with that, you can't give your seeds to sow, you're under a spirit of mammon, because mammon is getting you to go the opposite of God. To not, the whole objective from Satan from day one is to not, and even from the Garden of Eden, just think about this, is to not believe and trust that God is the source. That's the ultimate job of him. He's not the source of wisdom. That's what he's getting. Satan is always trying to show us. In other words, don't trust God with wisdom, which all of the things that he is, his natural nature. Don't trust God with love. No, don't love. Be afraid to love others. Don't trust others. Don't trust your neighbors. So then that, see, all of that is to get you to get where he is, which is under the rulership of mammon, which is fear. Don't trust God with your finances. And I'm not telling you this. I'm saying this is what the enemy's job has been from day one. Don't trust God with your future. Don't trust God in your marriage. Don't trust God with even others in your relationship. That's why I'm telling you every single day when you get on here on shift, or if you listen to us later on in the podcast on the radio experiences that we have Monday through Friday, your eyes are being so enlightened so that you can have understanding. That's why I can see why God says in 1 Timothy to study to show yourself approved. Why? So that you can know what God is saying, so that it can be confirmed from leaders like me or confirmed with others. How can you believe? As I was reading even this morning from John 14, let me go to there really quickly. John 14, 30 and 31, or 29 and 31 from the Message Bible. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said, I've told you this ahead of time. That's why it's so important to hear God's voice. When people say they don't hear God's voice, I'm thinking it's no way, because Jesus said, I've told you ahead of time. Every time you read the word of God, you're hearing God's voice. So stop struggling with that nonsense and letting the enemy whip you to and fro and send you on a tailspin every time. I've told you ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, here it is. This is why I come on here every day for confirmation. The confirmation will deepen your belief in me. In other words, when you hear something in your spirit and you're reading the word of God, and then you hear somebody else confirming, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this so you can deepen your belief in me as your shepherd, as your Lord. Continuing on from John 14, 29 and 30, what he says, and I'll not be talking with you much more like this. So in other words, he's not going to be talking to them from the outside. Here's revelation knowledge. Jesus came as a spirit in a body as the Son of Man, speaking to us on the outside where the world was. Jesus walked the earth not with even one believing spirit until he taught them, and then he got them to submit unto his lordship from the instructions of God. And then he says, I will not be talking to you from the outside anymore. This is the revelation that I'm getting right now from the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because now Jesus is talking to us from the inside. Do you get it? He's no longer talking to us from the outside. He's using people like me, shepherds like me, to speak to you from the outside, to confirm to you what he's been telling you all this time through the Holy Ghost from the inside. So he says, I'll not be talking with you much more like this. But in other words, he says, I'm going to still be talking. But he says, because the chief of this godless world, this is Satan, is about to attack. But don't worry. See, this is the command that he was speaking to them from the outside, and he's confirming to you now from the inside. He has nothing on me. He has no claims on me. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Father, I am carrying out my Father's instructions right down to the last detail. And then what does he tell us? Get up. Let's go. It's time to leave here. And I'm here to announce to you today, get up. Go. It's time to leave here. No, not leave the earth. It's time to leave that old mindset. Leave that struggle in your soul. Stop listening to the enemy. And one thing I wrote in my journal this morning, I wrote, you cannot fight the enemy who is on the outside of you. What does he say in Ephesians 6:12? Struggle is not against flesh and blood. The struggles that you are having in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, with yourself, in your relationship, it's not against flesh and blood. Once you recognize that, you're going to already be set free. I'm telling you, at least walk in the freedom that Jesus has already provided for you. Here are the ranks of Satan. Satan has ranks. So what are those ranks? Ephesians 6:12 says, we're not fighting against humans from the CEV. We're fighting against, number one, forces. Number two, rulers and darkness of and powers in the spiritual world. In other words, these present forces and darkness and rulers and powers, that's who you're fighting with, forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. So therefore, fight the enemy with the good fight of faith. Goes back to my devotional. Send the word out. Jesus said in Matthew 4, you don't fight against a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So stop letting the enemy send you in a tailspin. Open up your mouth. First read the word of God. Settle it by believing it, and open up your mouth and say what God is saying, so you can know that God is for you and not against you, that you can see the word go to work on your behalf and in your finances. And Jesus said in John 14:30, this is what he told us. He says, I am almost finished speaking to you. The one who rules the world is stepping forward, which we already see it every day. We see it on the news. And he has no part in me. So if you're going to fight the enemy, the what also the Holy Spirit is saying, you cannot fight the enemy and still be in the same common ground that the enemy is in. In other words, you cannot come against the spirit of strife in your marriage and still be operating out of a spirit of strife. Because guess what? It's like Satan fighting against Satan. You got to come up higher. Get in your love walk, and you do your damage there. You cannot fight the enemy on the same ground as the enemy. He is already a defeated foe. And so for order for you and I to fight the good fight of faith, and what else does that look like? I'm going to show you another example. You cannot fight the claim against the spirit of poverty and lack and still go into charging credit cards. You can't do it. Oh, God, I believe I receive all the wealth to pay off my debt, but then you're still charging. That's a double standard. Hear what I'm telling you today. What you have to do is start operating out of Romans 13 to owe no man nothing but the debt of love. Stop charging. Believe God as your source. Live within your limitations. Whatever you don't have, sometimes you're going to have to make sacrifices to not have it for a season, to learn how to live within your means. Maybe not get all your hair done and your hair, your waxing done and your all of these things done, and you're still in debt. That could be applied to debt. that could be applied to sowing so that you can reap and no longer be led under the spirit of mammon, which is lust, which is greed, which is your look or your appearance or whatever it is. I thank God that I've learned just many years ago. I mean, even from just a young girl, I've always lived with simplicity. I like nice things. I will shop, but I'm not going to get into debt for nice things. Hear what I'm telling you today. Live within your means. And until your means increases, then you do those things. But you can't have all of the Burger King baby or try to treat yourself, oh, because I've worked for this, so I'm going to deserve a treat. Well, yeah, we should deserve a treat, but not to deserve a treat when we're still in bondage. So don't try to fight the spirit of mammon while you're on the common ground of mammon. God has made your name great. He said he's given us wealth already. Calling forth those things that be not, but also aligning with wealth that we say that we're ready to manifest, not aligning ourselves constantly with debt and the spirit of mammon. I hope you are beginning to see what I'm telling you, so you can avoid from falling into the bondage of the spirit of mammon and those characteristics that tell us to protect ourselves from our problems and that money is the only solution. Money is not the solution. Money is a means to an end. God can bless you through the favor of others. Hear what I'm telling you today. It appears to provide the things only that God can give. Mammon causes fear. Mammon causes the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh to increase. Money tells us that we don't have enough money or wealth, regardless of how much we have, because it lies to us. Hear what I'm telling you today. We cannot trust in the riches of this world and fall under these things, but righteousness will always flourish, as he says in Proverbs 11:28, as a branch. And when we trust in money, money will always let you down. But he says, those that trust in the Lord and you lean not on your understanding and you acknowledge God in all of your ways, he will keep you on track. He will deliver to manage. God is only giving you what you can manage. Whatever you can't manage is what you will not have, because God is also looking at the intent. He's looking at the motivation of your heart. So when you, whatever you can't manage, you cannot have. It doesn't mean that God is withholding it from you. He's just being a very wise father to say, it doesn't that I'm saying I'm denying you. I'm just telling you, not yet. So the thing that we all need to do when we want to increase, we must prepare and plan to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the world so that we can manage it. Remember, everything that you see is only a resource from people. People are not your source. I am never your source to love you. God is your source to love you. I'm just one of the resources to demonstrate the love of God. Everyone is a resource, so don't depend on your friends. Don't depend on your brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, if anything, depend on their character, that they would always remain the same and speak life and truth into you and encouragement. Hear what I'm telling you today. But don't depend on anything in this world, because that's Satan's greatest objective is to lead you through deception, to depend on the resources and to make the resource your supply. Things and people are not your supply. God is your supply. He supplies you with love. He supplies you with salvation. He supplies you with his faithfulness. He supplies you with his name. He supplies you with his son, which is the word of God. He supplies you with his spirit to get the job done. That's the power and the word working together. He supplies you with his faith. He supplies you with his righteousness. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. He has supplied you with wealth. He supplies you with beauty. He supplies you with honor. He supplies you with a name, and then you're getting a new name when you get to heaven. He is your supply. The Lord is your shepherd. You have no need for want. Say that as your last declaration, your first declaration, and your last today. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I am led by the Spirit of the living God. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding or the spirit of mammon with all of its suggestions and temptations, but I lean on the Holy Spirit, who knows all things and reveals all things to me. Therefore, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am not moved by the spirit of lies, by the spirit of fear, by the spirit that brings fame or fortune, and anything that this world gives. I am not a selfish spirit. I sow and I reap. I give and I receive according to the word of God. The Lord God has made me rich in spirit, rich in body, rich in wealth, rich in relationship, rich in resources, and he has added, come on and say it with me, no sorrow to it. I trust only in God who keeps me on track. I no longer procrastinate. I no longer have slackness in my hand, for God has given me this earth as a resource. My God is the only source of my supply, and I am living, come on and say it, my most and blessed days now because God is my source. I now have all the right resources, people, things working together with me as unto the Lord for good. Our work is effective, our work is accurate, and our work is professional. I have the faith of God in me that is steadfast and unfaltering. My mind is fortified, my emotions are stable, and I am fruitful. I have the power to gain wealth. I subdue the land, and I am replenishing the land. I thank you, Father, for your word today, that I am in the perfect place in my mindset for you to bless me naturally. In the name of Jesus, I believe it, I will it, I have it, I take it, and I thank you, Father. I seal my declarations of faith in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask, imagine, or decree, according to the power, come on and say it with me, that's working in me, to him that is able to keep me from failing and falling under the spirit of mammon. And he's presenting me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Holy Spirit alone is sustaining my body, my spirit, my soul, and my wealth. And he is the Almighty God, my Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, eternal, immortal, invincible God, the only wise God and true God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Come on, let's give it up to the Holy Spirit and thank God for the information and the wisdom that he's giving you this morning. Even Jesus is praying that we will execute these words today and allow ourselves to no longer fall under guilt, shame, and condemnation as he has rebuked the devourer for our sake. You are no longer walking under the spirit of mammon. We are not going to be subjected to its temptations, but we are going to walk and be led by the spirit of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless, watch, guard, and keep over you today, and may the Lord's face shine upon you, and may the Lord lift up his approving countenance and give you peace today and tranquility of heart. I love you so much. I bless you this week, the rest of this weekend. Be safe and walk in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, legacy partners and friends, for making this mission possible. In Jesus' name.